Alan McFarlane, who is this year's Huxley lecturer, is a commanding figure in British anthropology, with a lifetime of distinguished service. He was born in India, read modern history at Oxford, where he graduated in 1967 with a DPhil on witchcraft prosecutions in Essex. He trained as an anthropologist at the LSE, and capped this with a PhD based on Nepalese field research at the School of Oriental and African Studies in 1972. He has continued to conduct fieldwork in Nepal, but from 1990 has additionally travelled and worked extensively in Japan and China. He has taught anthropology at Cambridge since 1971, where he became Professor of Anthropological Science in 1990, and has been Emeritus Professor since 2009. Oh, and he's also been, like another public intellectual, William Rees-Mogg, well connected to the book trade in his spare time. These are formal career details, but the Alan McFarlane we think of, know, or admire will very much depend on what part of his varied and considerable body of work engages most closely with our own. One way to approach this might be to divide up that body of work into four modes, roughly chronologically, but with massive overlaps and diversions. Among anthropologists of my generation, it is McFarlane Mode 1 that is perhaps, or has perhaps, had the lasting impact. His work building on his training as a historian applying anthropological ideas to early modern English witchcraft and leading to such influential books as The Rise of English Individualism, Justice and the Mayor's Ale, Marriage and Love in England, and the culture of capitalism. Along the way, he has introduced us to Ralph Josselyn and contributed to an anthropologically sensitized historical methodology in reconstructing historical communities with Charles Jardine and Sarah Harrison and his A Guide to English Historical Records. Mode 1 was closely followed by Mode 2. This is McFarlane of the Mountain, in which he moved from an interest in the relevance of historical demography in English history to applying its analytical concepts to an understanding of the relationship between population, resource management, and social institutions amongst the Gurungs of Nepal. Resources and Population was published in 1976, and he has followed this with a number of other editions and accounts, some co-authors of the Gurung way of life, as well as working collaboratively on the Nagas. Mode 3 is the McFarlane of the age of digital media, alanmcfarlane.com. For many younger, techno-savvy anthropologists, the McFarlane interface of first resort. Given his interest in the social impact of technology, it is perhaps not surprising that he has been a pioneer in introducing the new cyber technologies into scholarship and an enthusiastic advocate for the utility of computing applications and visual media in anthropological record keeping. His early forays into computers and history led to his experimental video disc project on the Nagas, followed by the BBC Doomsday project, the Cambridge database user manuals, including those accompanying the Rivers video. At the same time, films, ethnographic, biographical, and archival, were becoming available, entering the public domain in recent decades through his own website. Through this activity, Alan McFarlane has probably done more than anyone to chronicle and archive the history of late 20th century British social anthropology. Finally, there is McFarlane Mode 4, in which we find addressed the broader sweep of global systems and thought, particularly through the West's engagement or non-engagement with China and Japan. This mode brings together the core components of his interest in the comparative study of the origins and nature of the modern world, and looks at how this might be investigated anthropologically. This theme is reflected in his The Savage Wars of Peace, England, Japan, and the Malthusian Tract, The Riddle of the Modern World, Liberty, Wealth, and Equality, The Making of the Modern World, in which he compares the thought of F.W. Maitland and Yukichi Fukuzawa. The glass bathyscraph, how glass changed the world. Green gold, the empire of tea, which he wrote for Iris Book 5. Perhaps surprisingly, I think it is here that we can best accommodate his delightful letters to Lily. Alan McFarlane's work across all modes has been widely translated, including, and this is always the test, into Estonian and Slovenian. He has given distinguished lectures and received honours in Britain and abroad, including the Fraser, Malinowski, Radcliffe Brown, and Marek lectures. He has received the Rivers Medal from this institution and has been an honorary vice president. He was elected a Fellow of the British Academy in 1986 and made a Fellow of the Academia Europaea in 1990. As you all know, the Huxley Lecture is the highest honour that the REI can bestow on a scientist or a scholar, and it is traditionally awarded to someone whose work has had an international impact. It is therefore a personal privilege for me to introduce Professor Alan McFarlane and invite him to deliver his lecture, which I suspect is an exemplification of McFarlane cross-modality. His title is Anthropology, Imperialism and Modernity.
Thomas Huxley was a polymath and supporter of Darwin. He surveyed the whole world through its long history and helped to establish the foundations of the great evolutionary paradigm about which I shall be talking later. Huxley's example encourages me, as his descendant, to think in a broad way. So I shall stand back from the detail and try to look down from a high place on the last three centuries within which anthropology as we know it, has developed. When we look at that understanding of ourselves and others, which we call anthropology, it is tempting to divide what has happened into three grand periods, or paradigms in Kuhn's sense. Each of them, I shall argue, was linked to the wider context, and in particular, to the changes in that extraordinary combination of features which we term modernity, and to the balance between imperial powers.
We now have the medal, and it's a particularly great pleasure and a little bit of a relief for me to present Alan McFarlane the Huxley Medal for 2012. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed, Roy and the REI, and to all of you for coming. Thank you.